We're going through the Old Testament on Wednesday nights. We're in the book of Exodus, second book of the Torah, chapters 8 and 9 tonight. And we're going to cover two chapters for a change. Next week, 10 and 11, if we're still here. Exodus chapter 8. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for everybody here. And thank you, Lord, that we can come and get a midweek meal of the milk and the meat and the manna of your word. And I pray tonight that you would give us wisdom, knowledge, and insight in this incredible book. I know I say that about every book. Every book, every chapter, every verse of your word is incredible because it's given by the inspiration of God. And it's so wonderful. You are speaking to us. Just as you were speaking to Moses and Pharaoh and Aaron, you speak to us today through your word. It still applies. Your word is the same yesterday, today, and always. It never changes, and it's because man's heart never changes. The only way it can change is through the power of the Holy Spirit and through your word and through being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, by being born again, by being Christians. And so help us tonight, Lord, to get a good meal. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and insight. Help us to learn from these wonderful things that you're going to show us here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it's been a couple of weeks since we've been in Exodus because of the holidays. So I'm a little bit of a background here to bring us up to speed of how we got to chapter 8. And back in chapter 7, a few weeks ago, the Lord spoke to Moses. In the land of Egypt, Egypt is always a picture of the world. It speaks of paganism. It speaks of idolatry. It speaks of godlessness. And so, isn't it interesting that God spoke to Moses in a place like that? God is still speaking to people in godless places, idolatrous places, pagan places. He's always bidding us to come. And he says to Moses, I am the Lord. Go and speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you. And God is very serious when he sends someone out to represent him, to speak his word. And you know what? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and always, the same holds true for pastors today. We speak his word. We don't play games with the word of God. These are the holy scriptures. We don't twist them. We don't change them. We don't try to water it down. We don't try to make people feel good. You know when I really feel good? When I'm convicted. And when God changes me, I need to be convicted. And so we don't have to appease the people. All God's called us to do is to feed the sheep. And God says to Moses and God says to me and other pastors today, all that I say to you, go and speak to the people. This is what people need to hear today, don't they? They need to hear from God. And we're going to see the results of someone that does not want to hear from God, one by the name of Pharaoh. His heart was hard. Calcified is the term in the original language. And you know, the more we push God away and the more we harden our hearts, the harder our hearts get. The same sun, S-U-N or S-O-N, if you would, that melts the ice, hardens the clay. And God's word is either going to soften our hearts or it's going to cause people to have hard hearts. And people will come to a place, as we see in Romans chapter 1, where God will give them over to a hard heart. That's a dangerous place to be. And so tonight we see again that God's going to send Moses to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And Moses, as we often do, looked at himself. When God told Moses to do something, what the first place he looks is at himself. And that's when we get in trouble. When God calls us to do that something that's humanly impossible, but my Bible tells me with God all things are possible, and God would never request or require you and I to do something that he would not give us the ability to do. Do you believe that? I believe that with all of my heart. Do you think this was my choice? If you had told me 50 years ago, in my BC days, this is what I'd be doing, delivering the mail, I'd have thought you're crazy, man. And that's just the way God works. He's got an incredible sense of humor, doesn't he? He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, even to this very day. So Moses looked at himself, unqualified. You know, he says, I guess he stuttered or something. I don't know. He felt inept in going before Pharaoh, the highest office in Egypt, and that Pharaoh would not heed what he had to say. Oftentimes we defeat ourselves by thinking in advance what the response is going to be, whatever the situation may be, that God uses us in. And sometimes we have to take every thought captive. And if God calls us to do something, do it. Just do it. God said that long before Nike did. God just says, do it. Be a doer of my word and not just a hearer deceiving yourselves. And so Moses failed to heed the Lord himself. He's thinking about Pharaoh not heeding what God had to say. He was to say to Pharaoh all that God had told him to say. That makes it pretty simple. I never run out of sermon material. I always have things to share with the people that God has to say. This is God's word here tonight. And there's always something in God's word. Have you ever gone to church and heard the Bible taught and had not heard something that was just for you? God's word is incredible. It speaks to us corporately as well as individually. And man, I remember when I first got saved, it was like, wow, you're talking to me. How did you know that? Did you talk to my wife? Or, you know, what's going on? I still hear that today. Someone will come out after service and go, did my wife tell you something here? You know, I go, nope. And that's why when someone goes to, you know, tell me things about others, I go, wait a minute here. I don't want to hear it because that way I won't be accused of knowing what's going on here. And when you deliver the mail, it's wonderful to see the comfortable afflicted and the afflicted comforted. So that's the way God's word works. And so it's important that we too heed the word of God, isn't it? That's why we're here. We're here to hear from God so that we can heed God's word. We can always trust God and his word no matter what the situation may look like. Oftentimes we look at things physically and forget that God works spiritually. He's always working behind the scenes. And all he wants you to do and all he wants me to do is to obey. And so God made Moses' brother Aaron his mouthpiece. And that Aaron could tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land. That's what we saw back in chapter 7. Let my people go. God also warned Moses and Aaron in advance that Pharaoh's heart would be hardened. He told them in advance that Pharaoh wouldn't receive it and that Pharaoh would not heed what they had to say. God just wanted him to go and to speak forth his word. But also that the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. He said, and in spite of Pharaoh's hardened heart, God says, I will stretch forth my hand on Egypt and bring them out from the land with great judgment. Wow. God is able to work, isn't he, with leadership. Look at the leadership in America today. I've never seen it as chaotic as it is today. Democrats against Republicans. And I often tell you, and I'm just going to remind you again tonight, we were not created to live under a democracy, even though a democracy is good. We were created to live under a theocracy. Theocracy means to be governed by God. This nation was founded on God's word, and we were governed by God at one time. And the problem with America today is we're no longer governed by God. Political correctness, secular humanism, and all these things have crept into our land very subtly. We expelled Jesus from our schools in 1962. No prayer, no Bible. I'm old enough to remember we had a Jewish teacher when I was in sixth grade, and she used to teach us from the Bible, and we used to sing songs about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and it was amazing. In school, we saluted the flag, and we prayed and all these things, and that was a time that America was really strong. But look what's happened. Very subtly, the enemy has crept in, and now these things are being taken down. There's no longer Ten Commandments and courthouses. People no longer take oath of office with their hand on a Bible. I've got pictures of people taking the oath of office to be a representative in this country with their hand on the Quran. Not even Christians, Muslims. We have Muslims in our Congress today. And so Moses and Aaron are going through Pharaoh, or to Pharaoh, with a hard heart. Pharaoh was godless, but they went just as God had commanded. As God told Aaron to cast his rod before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Remember that last time we met? Now, because the Egyptians worshipped snakes, they couldn't kill the snake, the rod that turned into a snake, and instead, their demonic powers, with their demonic powers, they duplicated the miracle. Yet God is greater, and God allowed Aaron's serpent to swallow up their serpents, their God, if you would. And it was then that God would now send 9 plagues, and that's what we're going to start here tonight. Last time we met, we saw the first plague. We're going to see the second, third, fourth, and fifth, sixth here tonight. And so the last chapter, in chapter 7, we witnessed the first plague, which was when the Nile River was turned into blood. Can you imagine what that must have been like? I mean, we're talking real blood. The Nile River, this huge, powerful river, turned to blood. Why? Because they also worshiped the Nile River as one of their gods. It was the life-sustaining God that they worshiped. And so God, in turning it to blood, struck out another one of their gods. And these plagues that we're going to see here tonight and next week are aimed towards the false gods of Egypt. And yet again, Pharaoh's occult magicians, I'm stuttering just like Moses, his fake magicians duplicated the miracle and they turned the rest of the places of water into blood. How dumb is that? To taking a plague and making it worse. And they made this plague worse than it was. And so tonight, the plagues continue against Egypt's gods. And Pharaoh's heart, of course, continues to harden. And so let's take a look at chapter 8 as we look at the first 7 verses. The second plague, frogs. And the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs. So the river shall bring forth abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, in the houses of your servants, of your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls, and the frogs shall come up on you and on your people and on all of your servants.'" Can you imagine that? Man, that'd make you want to croak. "And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. And so Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on to the land of Egypt." When it says, "Thus says the Lord," it is "thus says the Lord," isn't it? God's word is the final authority. Do you know that? Do you believe that? God's word is the final authority. God says it. And when God says abundant frogs upon you and your house and your bed and your people and all your servants and in your ovens and in your kneading bowls, it's going to come to pass. What must have been like for Aaron to stretch out the rod? And all of a sudden, man, frogs are coming out everywhere. Can you imagine what that was like? As you know, we lived in Vermont for 12 years, and there was a certain time of the year when it was almost like the plague of the frogs. If you've ever lived on the East Coast, we would come home from church on a Wednesday night driving at night, and the frogs would be on the road, and their bellies were white, and their eyes would shine. It was like looked like the road was covered with these frogs. And the crazy thing is we'll be driving and you could hear them popping under your tires. Oh, yeah. Let my people go. Yeah. Oh, they were everywhere. Just crazy. What must this have been like? I can't imagine. You go to bed and pull back the covers. Frogs. There's your My Pillow covered in frogs. You open up the oven. Frogs. Man, the kneading bowl. Frogs. We're not talking these little tiny frogs either. We're talking these big bullfrogs. Can you imagine? Every house in Egypt was infested with frogs. From the poor people, from the very, very poor, to the extremely wealthy. They were everywhere. And as if this wasn't bad enough, the stupid magicians made more. Man, it's bad enough to have a frog in your throat. without having a frog in your house and in your bed and in your oven and your kneading bowl. And because the frogs were sacred, again, this is directed at the gods of Egypt. And because they were considered sacred, they were considered part of the god of fertility, the Egyptians couldn't destroy the frogs. Had to live with them. Imagine that. There was no place in Egypt that was frog-free. They were everywhere. Verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord." Ah, we can just end right there, right? Okay. People are going to let go, right? Don't bet on it. Pharaoh was like a lot of politicians today. Lie through their teeth. You seen the Geico commercial? Where Pinocchio gets up to teach these people, you know? And Pinocchio's telling them how great and how talented and gifted they are, and his nose is getting bigger, and all of a sudden, wouldn't that be wonderful if that happened to politicians today? Wouldn't that be wonderful if it happened to people today? Why? Because our world is filled with lies, fake news. You don't know who to believe. That's why I talk very little about politics, because I can't believe everything I read even in Fox News today. But I do read the Jerusalem Post, and I do read Arutz Sheva from Israel, and it's amazing how accurate they are in their news about America more than we are. And guess what? They love America. And they love Donald Trump. Why? Because Donald Trump loves Israel. And the Bible says, "I will love those who love Israel, and I will curse those who curse Israel." I think one of the reasons we're hanging by a thread as a nation is because we still have a good relationship with Israel. But biblically, prophetically, that's going to end. It has to end eventually. That's sad. What a sad day that will be. And so here we see Pharaoh. "I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord." Verse 9. "And Moses said to Pharaoh, 'Accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you, for your servants, and for your people, to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only.' And so he said, 'Tomorrow.' And he said, 'Let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from you, from your houses, from your servants, and from your people, and they shall remain in the river only.' Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. And Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh." Notice here, you're going to see many times Moses will cry out to the Lord on behalf of unbelieving people, pagan people, idolaters. He cried out and he prayed and he interceded for them on their behalf. How is your prayer life? Do you pray for unbelievers? Do you pray for those even in politics that are wicked? Do you pray for those that are your enemies? Jesus said to do that. He said to love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who despitefully use you, and pray for them. The world wants you to hate them. The world wants you to do the swamp people thing. Shoot them in the head, you know. But God wants you to pray for them. God wants to save them. God saved you. My Bible tells me that I was at enmity with God before I came to know him. That means I was an enemy of God because of my sin and my behavior and my godlessness. And so here we see that Moses cried out to the Lord. 13, so the Lord did according to the word of Moses. God answers prayer, folks. And the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyards, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together in heaps. Can you imagine? And the land stank, to put it lightly. It stank. And again, Pharaoh promises Moses and Aaron, take away the frogs and I'll let the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And again, in typical political fashion, Pharaoh makes a promise that he knows he's not going to keep. And again, that holds true today, doesn't it? I'm teaching things today that 30 or 40 years ago when I started teaching, I never thought would be in my lifetime, but they are now here. And one of the things that Timothy talks about in 2 Timothy 3 is that one day there will be traitors. We're not talking Trader Joe's. We're talking traitors. And guess what? Look around. Everywhere, traitors. Selling themselves to the world. And that's what we see today. And so here, Moses intercedes for Pharaoh. Take away the frogs. And he says he'll let the people go. Moses took his word for it. Sometimes that's hard to do, isn't it? But you know what, 1 Corinthians 13, when it talks about love in the love chapter, and this is hard for me at times, it says love believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things, and love never fails. And you know what, when you lay yourself out, when you lay yourself out as a living sacrifice and you believe people, sometimes you're going to take a hit. Yeah. We're to believe all things and hope all things, and that's what Moses did here. And what a change we see in the life of Moses, interceding for Pharaoh, the enemy. And he believes Pharaoh. And this was, you know what Moses was like before? He murdered somebody, buried him in the sand. And now we see the new Moses, praying for others, interceding. And he took his word for it, and he interceded for Pharaoh. When is the last time you interceded on the president's behalf, vice president's behalf, Nancy Pelosi's behalf, Bernie Sanders, all these people? When is the last time you interceded on behalf of them? Like I said, the same sun that hardens the clay melts the ice. We need to pray that God would melt their hearts. They're candidates for the kingdom of heaven just like you and I are. How many people, maybe not all of you, but I know there's a lot of us in this room, man, when people saw that we got saved, they go, what? My own brother. What? You know what he said to me the day I got saved? He says, today I lost my best friend, and he walked away for 27 years. And I prayed for him. I interceded for him, and you know the story. On a golf course one day, he said, I just want to tell you, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Why? Because I interceded for him, and I loved him, and I believed in him, that God was going to save him. And my Bible tells me with God all things are possible. Is there someone that you're praying for that you love that's broken your heart, that's walking in sin, whatever it might be, and you've got your doubts, there's no way that they could be saved? But guess what? We got a whole bunch of people in this room who are the most unlikely to be saved. There's some incredible... If you don't think we've got testimonies in this church, go to our website, and there's two sections that Tom and Rich have done on people's testimonies that'll blow you away. And that's only scratching the surface of this fellowship. That's the God that we serve. We need to intercede. We need to pray. And, you know, I had mentioned to you about a month ago, you know, as Christians, we're always learning something new. And for, you know, almost 40 years as a believer, I knew what intercessory prayer was. And I intercede and pray for people. But all of a sudden the light went on and I'm thinking, you know what? While I'm praying for that person, God is actually looking at them. Wherever they are, because God is everywhere. God sees everything. And while you're praying for that person, God's looking right at them. He knows exactly where they're at and what they're doing. Isn't that amazing? But we forget that sometimes. And when we realize that God is there, it causes us to be more fervent in our intercessory prayer. So Moses took his word, interceded for Pharaoh. By the way, Pharaoh, Moses says, let it be known to you, Pharaoh, that there is no one like the Lord our God. And we can still say that today, can't we? There is no one like the Lord our God. And so here we see him interceding. And again, God answers Moses' prayer, doesn't he? And all of the frogs died. They all croaked right where they were. Verse 13. And they were gathered in heaps, and they stank. Can you imagine? We think it's bad here when the wind changes on the Salton Sea. But man, can you imagine all of those frogs and big toads, man? Bullfrogs everywhere in heaps. I mean, can you imagine people emptying out their houses and under their beds and on their beds and their ovens and all? I mean, big heaps. Just from one house had to be a big heap of frogs. And they stank. And so Moses kept his promise. Did exactly what he told Pharaoh was going to do, and he interceded. God answered. The frogs all died. What about Pharaoh? Didn't Pharaoh promise that he was going to let his people go? Grandma, what big eyes you have. Look at verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief He hardened his heart and did not heed them, as the Lord had said. Wow. You see what's happening to Pharaoh? His heart is getting harder and harder and harder and harder. And that's what happens to a person. Our hearts are either soft and open to God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit, or we continually harden our hearts, layer after layer of calcification over our hearts, until eventually the term that is used in the New Testament is that there is absolutely no feeling. It's like, you ever burn yourself and have dead skin, and you can take and put a pin through it and not even feel it? That's what happens to a person's heart. Eventually it will be so hard, it will be totally desensitized to anything of God. And that's a scary place to be. Wow. And so in 15 it says, Pharaoh saw that there was relief and he hardened his heart and did not heed them as the Lord had said. But you know what? I did the same thing. I was just sharing with a brother a moment ago before the service started it. When I was in the military, I'd make promises. God, if you get me out of this one, I'll go to church, I'll do this, I'll do that. And I broke my promise. I lied. So this doesn't surprise me. Oftentimes we get in the jam, be it frogs or plagues, whatever it might be. You know, be it getting in trouble, as many of us did in our BC days. Or being in the service, being in Vietnam, whatever it might be. Lord, if you get me out of this one. I don't talk much about Vietnam. As a matter of fact, Tina and I have been married 45 years, and she knows nothing about my time over there, but I have told her that there were times we were told we would not see the morning, and that's when I would pray, and I would pray the Lord's Prayer. I didn't know the Lord. I would pray Our Father in Heaven, and He wasn't my Father, but guess what? The sun came up the next day because for some reason God heard my prayer, and He delivered me, and I'm here today. And so don't give up on anybody. I guarantee you, every one of us one time or another said, God, if you get me out of this one, if you help me in this one, if you do this, do that, then I'll change. And we didn't. Every one of us reneged on our promises. And so after repeated warnings, Pharaoh continued to lie and harden his heart. And every time there was relief from the plagues, there was no change. All the while his own people were suffering. You've heard me talk about that as well. How often do you hear people say, well, I'm not hurting anybody with my drinking or my drugs or my partying, whatever it might be. You know what? Everybody around you is affected by those things. They say, I'm not hurting anybody. I guarantee you that everybody in this room somehow, some way has been affected by alcoholism, be it personally or a relative or a parent, whatever it might be. And it's a gateway. Alcohol for me was a gateway to the next thing. And I'm not going to lay out the list. You know, you've heard our testimony. But you know what? Your sin affects everybody around you. It may not happen immediately, but eventually it will. And how many of us, I wonder, in this room have been devastated somehow, some way by somebody's sin in our own family? Nothing good ever comes out of sin. Nothing. It cannot produce anything good. But yet we still do it. God warns us, but we still continue on. And here, Pharaoh was the leader of Egypt, and all of these people in Egypt are affected by the sin of their leader. And now in America, we're starting to be affected by the sin of our leaders. Look at the homelessness in America. You know, now we legalize marijuana and same-sex marriage. You think God's going to honor these things? Abortion, 43 million. 43 million. It affects everybody. I'm amazed at the long-suffering of God, that He hasn't brought judgment upon this earth. Rebellion, stubbornness, lying to God not only brings a person grief, but it can also affect those around us. It can. How hard is the human heart? But Pharaoh didn't care about anybody but himself. Verse 16. And so the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land, so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, the original Hebrew word is kane, K-A-N-E, which means not just lice. It could be gnats, it could be mosquitoes, it can be beetles. Not the ones from England, but it can be beetles. And so, stretch out your hand, strike the dust of the land, so that it may become lice or Cana, Cain, through the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. And so the Lord has to step it up even more, doesn't he? Sometimes God has to do that. If we don't respond or repent to the trials God allows, he turns up the heat. And like I said, this is not just lice, it's gnats and every other kind of insect, bugs. You ever been down south during bug season? Man, wow. I mean, you have to get out sometimes and wash your car window. The bugs are so big, they just splatter. They're almost as big as birds. Man, they splatter all over the, and bugs are everywhere, and they get all over you and stuff. This is like amped up on man and on beast throughout the whole land, it says. And this time, notice the magicians were powerless. They couldn't use their occultic powers any longer to try to duplicate what Moses and Aaron were doing. And notice what they said. They actually admitted that this is the finger of God. Do you think that impacted Pharaoh? No. Because it says that his heart grew harder. Amazing. His heart grew hard and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. Pharaoh continued to refuse to believe. And the more he refused, the harder his heart became. Verse 20. And the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and on your people and in your houses. And the house of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be.' And the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt, and the land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies." Imagine again, flies this time. And the crazy thing is not even one single fly went to Goshen where God's people were. It just shows that God is able to protect his people even in a sinful world like today. Oftentimes we don't realize how much God protects us. I often talk with somebody, and we'll be sitting there saying, "You know what? We're in a Christian bubble. We really are. So much that God protects us from that's going on in this world today. It's a dangerous place, and God protects us. We have no idea the harm that God keeps us from, because sometimes we just, it's almost like we feel like we're entitled to it, We just take it for granted, God's divine protection, his blessings and all. But God protects us, just like he did with his children in Goshen. And so again, we see with swarms of flies, which means a mixture of insects in the original Hebrew, again, beetles. The term is Kepri. Why? Because they worship the god of Kepri, the god of the sacred beetle. And again, everywhere it says, on Pharaoh, his servants, his people, on their houses, and on the ground. Now again, it shows you how hard Pharaoh's heart is, because there he's standing covered in flies. It's because of his own hard heart and his own rebellion. And that still didn't break him. Even with the lice, and even with all the other things he'd seen, the blood in the Nile River and all, and Man, how hard is the human heart? And this time the plague will come upon the Egyptians, but not on God's people. And God will show Pharaoh that there is a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And the same holds true today. There is a difference between, there is a distinction between Christians and the rest of the pagan world. We are children of God. We are set apart unto Him. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. Now in verse 25, it looks like Pharaoh's softening, right? Look what it says. And the Lord did so. A thick swarm of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, into the land of Egypt, and the land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies. And then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God in the land. So all of a sudden you think, oh, wow, maybe Moses and Aaron thought, okay, maybe there's a breakthrough here. But you know what the deal is here? God wanted his people to go a three-day journey away, out of the land of Egypt, to worship him and to sacrifice to him. But Pharaoh's trying to compromise here. And he says, well, just go and worship here in the land. He's compromising. There's a lot of that going on in the world today. Moses sees right through him. And Moses stands on God's word. Notice verse 25 or 26. Moses said, it is not right to do so. For we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he will command us. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me. And Moses said, indeed, I'm going out from you. And I will entreat the Lord that the swarm of flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people. But let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully anymore in letting the people go to sacrifice the Lord. You know, compromise is not good. And yet, unfortunately, there are many today, even in the church, who are compromising. Pharaoh, like Satan, is always trying to get God's people to compromise. Today, Satan is trying to get us to compromise. Nobody's perfect. He would not allow Israel to go but just a short distance away. God said 3 days. The Hebrews were to leave Egypt to worship the Lord. Compromise is only partial obedience to God's word. And when you and I only obey part of God's word, when we don't fully obey God's word, we're compromisers. And compromising is sin. We're not to compromise. We're to be committed, fully committed, totally committed to obeying the word of God. And there's no better place to be. When it comes to obeying God, half measures won't do. And nobody knows better than God whether we're all in or whether we're playing a game. Jesus said, I'd rather be cold or hot, but if you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's compromise. The compromisers make God sick to his stomach, if you ever really think about it. And it's a bad witness. One foot in the world and one foot in the church. Greg Laurie calls them mugwumps. Their mug is in the church and their wump is in the world. Compromisers. Israel would be sacrificing animals that the Egyptians regarded as sacred. And what would happen then? Man, they would come out and they would riot and they would react violently towards God's people. And they were not to sacrifice pagan animals. They had their own livestock to sacrifice to the Lord. Then again, Pharaoh asked for intercession. Oh, pray for me. I have that happen all the time. Oh, pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. And I say, you know what? It's about time you grew up and started praying for yourself. I'm not Jesus. Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. Pray to Jesus. You know, you get yourself into this mess. Oh, I'll be praying for you, but I'm not going to be your prayer. warrior, if you would. Oh, pray for me. Verse 28. In verse 30, Moses intercedes. Why? Because Moses believed all things. In 31, God answered again. But Pharaoh lies again. He continues to harden his heart, and neither will he let the people go. Notice, Moses went out, verse 30, from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, got the raid out from his servants and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time. Also, neither would he let the people go. Wow. What would you be doing if you were Moses and Aaron? Would you be going, man, grab the rod, Aaron. Let's see what he's going to do next. Man, we've seen lice, we've seen flies, we've seen all this stuff, you know. And man. And sometimes we wonder, Lord, what's it going to take? What is it going to take for this person? Look at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, you got to admire God's persistence. Go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord, God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field. Notice those three words, in the field, okay? On the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, on the sheep, a very severe pestilence. And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died in the field, right? But of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Then Pharaoh sent, and indeed not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. Persistence is so important, isn't it? Persistence is important in your life and mine. We can't quit. We need to continue on. We get tired. We get discouraged. But we need to keep going. Keep praying. Keep pressing on. I read a story one time of some coal miners that got trapped down South Virginia or somewhere. And then they dug and dug and dug and dug and finally they just quit. And one guy's trying to encourage the guys, keep going, we're almost there. And they all just quit and they all died. And when the rescuers finally got to them, they were less than 6 inches away from a breakthrough. And how often are we less than 6 inches away from a breakthrough in life? We just quit. Keep on digging. Can you dig it? We do get tired. We do get weary. But our God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And you know what? None of us can be so tired we can't pray or intercede. This is Moses' fifth trip to Pharaoh. Imagine. And he continues to obey. And he persists and he perseveres. I love what Charles Spurgeon says. It was perseverance that got the snail to Noah's Ark. Well, I'm sure the horses beat him there and the lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. The snail got there, too, because he persevered. And sometimes, you know, that's about as fast as we can move as a snail. Where'd you get to be my age? You're laughing. But he continued to obey. He persisted. And you know what? Is there a difficulty that you're facing today that you're about ready to give up on? Well, maybe that's why you're here tonight. God is telling you, don't give up. Maybe you just needed a confirmation tonight. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Keep on persisting. Keep on persevering. We do face things over and over and over again. But you know what? We got to keep going. Don't quit. Don't give up. And here we now see pestilence on the Egyptian livestock and protection over the Hebrew livestock. But look at Pharaoh again. You know, he has not changed. The heart of Pharaoh, last part of verse 7, became hard, and he did not let the people go. And you know who can outwait everybody? God can. God's not on a timetable. God never grows weary. God stays, again, as we can see here, he's not done with Pharaoh. God can certainly outwait Pharaoh. And he wants us to hold on to God by faith and keep on pressing on, keep on persevering. And the pressure continues. Look at verse 8. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take yourselves handfuls of ashes. Oh, we don't need the rod this time. From a furnace. And let Moses scatter it towards the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Then they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them towards the heavens, and they caused boils to break out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boils were on the magicians and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Can you imagine boils head to toe? You ever had any sort of boils or anything like that? Again, not to tell war stories, there was an epidemic of ringworm. I had ringworm on 2/3 of my body, and so everybody else in my platoon had it. It was horrible. Around your eyes, your lips, everything just covered with ringworm. I can't imagine boils all over everybody. I think of Job with his ulcerated sores. That's what boils are. Head to toe. And not only on man, but on the beast as well. And even on Pharaoh. And his heart still gets hard. And now God is hardening his heart even more. And there are people that come to that place where God will give you over to a hardened heart, and he will make it harder and harder and harder to the point of no return. That's pretty scary. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning, verse 13. Stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart, and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. That is pretty heavy. I mean, if there's anything that should wake you up, it would be that statement, don't you think? Now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and all your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. As yet you exalt yourself against my people in that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Now when he's talking hail, he is talking hail. And therefore send now and gather your livestock. He even warns them in advance. You guys want to save your livestock? Get them out of the fields. For the hail shall come down on every man, on every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and livestock flee to the houses. They listened, they obeyed. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. And again, there's another example of the danger of not obeying the word of the Lord. Now, can you really tell me anything that God says to us or wants us to do that is not good for us? Everything he gives us in Scripture is because he loves us and he wants to keep us from harming ourselves. He wants to keep us from death and eternal separation from him. And everything that God commands us to do is for our own good. Just in the Ten Commandments alone, is there anything wrong with not committing murder or adultery? I mean, God gives us these commandments so that we can live in a holy union with him, and we can dwell with one another in unity. And there was a remnant, even in Egypt, of those that obeyed the word of God. They were spared. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards heaven. Verse 22. That there may be hail in the land of Egypt, all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, on every herb of the field, throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod towards heaven. And the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground. That's lightning. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. We've seen hail again, if you've ever been Texas, Midwest, like baseballs. I mean, these were bigger. These were bigger hailstones than had ever been seen on the earth. They were so bad they would kill the livestock and kill the people. Can you imagine? That's some hail. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. That was powerful stuff. All their crops destroyed. All the trees destroyed. Their livestock destroyed. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Wow. I would have to say there was hail. They were hailing Jesus. They were hailing the Lord. And I'd rather much be hailing him than him hailing on me. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said that I might have sinned this time. Oh, maybe he's changing. I doubt it. The Lord is righteous. And my people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail. For it's enough. I will let you go. And you shall stay longer. Stay no longer. So Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. That's good to keep in mind for us today, huh? With all that's going on, all the threats, nuclear warfare, all this stuff that's going on throughout all over the world, you know what? The earth is still the Lord's. He is going to have the final say. He came as a lamb. He's coming back as a lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's coming with fire in his eyes. Like I said Sunday, I believe in global warming, but it's not the Al Gore kind. This is the global warming that's going to burn up the earth with a fervent heat. And you know what? They will know that the earth is the Lord's. Verse 30, but as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord. You see? God knows every man's heart. God knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows every thought. He knows the intent of every heart. He knows every tear that you shed. He has every one of our prayers in golden bowls in heaven. And here he says, even with Pharaoh, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord. Wow. Now the flax and the barley were struck. Now the barley was in the head and then the flax was in the bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not struck, for they are late crops. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord. And then thunder and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured on the earth. When Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, are you kidding me? Are you serious? Did you see what it says next? He sinned more. And he hardened his heart. He and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard. Neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that shock you? On one end, how hard man's heart can be. That should give us an idea of why things are going the way they are in America and throughout the world. It's the hardness of man's heart. It's what people do in response to God's word and God's love and his grace and his mercy. And like I said, man, it shows you the hardness of man's heart. But on the other hand, tonight, what's really come to light for me is the grace of Almighty God. How over and over and over and over he's trying to get Pharaoh and the Egyptians to repent and to let his people go. I'll tell you, that's long-suffering. And today, God is long-suffering still. But there's going to come a day, one day, in an hour, when God will say, that's enough. When the trump of God will sound, the dead in Christ will rise, and those of us who are alive will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And there will be 7 years of hell breaking loose on this earth. The great tribulation period. Who's going to be left behind? The hard hearts. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And the more people reject the Lord, the harder their hearts get. But you know what? For us as believers, that shouldn't cause us to quit, to give up. We should continue to intercede, to pray for those in leadership in our country. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for those that, as you know, that we all have people that get under our skin. But that's more of a reason to pray for them. You know, when God lays somebody on my heart, I feel, well, God, you must want me to pray for them. And rather than curse them or belittle them or gossip about them, whatever it might be, you know what I do oftentimes? Not 100% of the time, but pray for them. Because God is laying them on my heart for some reason. And I think that's, you know, evidence that we are truly born-again Christians and full of the Holy Spirit. And like Moses and Aaron, he just wants us to be obedient to what his word says. And we know what his word says, that it's his will that none should perish, but that all would come to a saving knowledge of the truth. And we need to pray like never before for our nation, for people, for the lost. Because, man, the sands in the hourglass are getting lower and lower and lower. We're getting close. And I mentioned Sunday, just about every Sunday for the past couple of months, I have never sensed an urgency for the return of Jesus Christ like I have over the past few months. When Netanyahu said he's getting ready to build a third temple, I mean, he's right up, lined up with the book of Revelation. When the priests are already measured for the robes, when all the artifacts are ready for the temple, when they have the red heifer, how close do you think I am, or you are, or we are? Man, we are close, 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 close. And so we need to pray like never before, because God wants to save them. That's why we're still here. There's a lot of people bailing from California. But I tell my wife, we're here because we need light here. God's called us to minister here. The light shines the brightest in the darkness. God has you here to be light in this dark place. He's never called us to run from the battle. You ever see Moses and Aaron running from Pharaoh? No. Constantly, let my people go, let my people go, let my people go. And there's people right now, just like the Egyptians and just like Pharaoh's people, that are being held captive in bondage by sin and by Satan. And that's why we're here. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that we would sense the urgency of the times in which we live. And yes, we see people just like Pharaoh today, hard hearts against you, haters of God, Paul said. We want to pray for them right now. We want to intercede on their behalf that, Lord, you would break through their hardened hearts somehow, some way. We know, as Jeremiah said, that your word is like a hammer that breaks the rock. So may we never give up on sharing your word, because you tell us that your word never returns unto you void. Oh, we may not see an immediate response, but Lord, we can believe what you tell us. It never returns void, and your word breaks the rock like the hammer. Not that we're to go out and hammer people, but we're to go out and love them, share with them, speak the truth in love. And Lord, we pray that you would do a mighty work in this valley, throughout our state, throughout our nation, God. Bring us back to being one nation under God, would you please? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.